All right, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and last week we were looking at Moses, his parents, and Moses and the faith that God speaks of Moses and how he was willing to turn away from all that Egypt had to offer in the position and the fame and everything that was there. How God used him to bring Israel out of Egypt. But in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse number 30, and really we're just going to read two verses tonight, verse 30 and 31, okay? So since we're only going to read two verses, why don't you read both with me, okay? Since me just reading one and then you just reading one, right? Why don't you read them both with me tonight, okay? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30 and 31, let's read them together. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, these two verses here, as we look, obviously are dealing with kind of the same, time period, dealing with Joshua and the city of Jericho. And as you think about what has happened, God has used Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt and then brought them to the promised land. The 12 spies go in and the report comes back that 10 spies say it's not good, we can't do it. 2 spies say, yes, we can, let's go in. Of course, that was Joshua and Caleb. But because of the discouraging word of the 10 spies, basically the nation of Israel believes the 10 spies and they choose not to go in. And so because of that, God is going to have Israel wander in the desert for 40 years, right? So basically kind of after verse number 29, crossing the Red Sea through dry land, and then, of course, the Egyptians being drowned, they go to Mount Sinai, and then they eventually come up to the Jordan River, and God says, all right, here's the promised land, and Israel says, no, thank you, we can't do this. We're just too small. There's giants in the land and all of this thing, and so for 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness until basically all of those that were 20 years of age and older die in the wilderness because they did not believe the promises of God. And so they die in the wilderness, and so 40 years has passed. Moses is going to pass away as well, and God now passes the mantle of leadership to Joshua. So Joshua is now the leader of Israel, and he has come to the Jordan River again. And instead of sending 12 spies, I think Joshua kind of learned from what happened before. He sends 2 spies. Sends 2 spies in, and they come to Jericho. They spy out the land. They come back, and they tell Joshua. And then, of course, we find Joshua sends the Israel across the Jordan River. And just as God parted the Red Sea for Moses, God parts the Jordan River and opens up the Jordan River, and they cross over, and now they're in the Promised Land, right? So now they're in the Promised Land, and everything is smooth sailing from him here on out, right? Because now they're in the Promised Land. I mean, this is the land that God promised them. This is the land of milk and honey. So now there's going to be no problems. There's going to be no difficulties. There's going to be nothing wrong in the Promised Land. I think you all kind of know that's being a little facetious there, right? In fact, the very first obstacle that Israel faces in the Promised Land is the city of Jericho, right? Now, isn't that an interesting statement? Did anybody catch what I just said? The very first obstacle that the children of Israel face in the Promised Land is the city of Jericho. There are obstacles in the Promised Land. We would think, wait a minute, Promised Land, land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, this is what God promised. Then surely there can be no problems. Surely everything's going to be great. Surely everything's just going to be, it's going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be no problems. Everything's just going to be smooth sailing from here on out, right? And you know, sometimes, unfortunately, that's how we approach the Christian life. We come into the Christian life, we think, oh, now that I'm saved, there shouldn't be any problems in my life. Now that I'm saved, there shouldn't be any obstacles, there shouldn't be any enemies, there shouldn't be anything wrong, because now that I'm saved, everything should go good. But here's the problem. The promised land is not a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the Christian life. That's what the promised land is a picture of, right? And what you're going to find out is in the promised land, guess what they had constantly? Obstacles, battles they had to face, right? Now, had God promised them this land? Sure, there's no doubt about it. God had promised to them, but he also understood that there were enemies that were there, there were obstacles they were going to face, and they were going to have to get victory over these enemies, okay? And so God is telling them, hey, look, the promised land is before you, but if you will trust me and if you'll walk with me, I'll fight for you. I'll help you overcome these enemies. And can I say, God says the same thing about our Christian life. God says in the Christian life, there are going to be obstacles, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be trials, there's going to be enemies we have to face. But God says, I'm going to walk with you through them. And if you'll trust me, I'll fight for you. But the problem is, as soon as any obstacle comes, as soon as any problem comes, as soon as any difficulty comes into our life, the very first thing is we want to forsake God. We want to run away from God and be like, God, what? I thought you loved me. I thought I was saved. Wait a minute, friend. There are going to be problems. There are going to be obstacles. And this is what he says. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. As soon as they entered the promised land, they had an obstacle to face. It was called the city of Jericho. Now, can I say sometimes when we look at the Bible and we read scriptures like the faith of Isaac and the faith of Moses and the faith of Enoch and these guys' faith and women's faith as well, sometimes we think their faith was easier than ours. Well, they just had it easier, right? I mean, come on. I mean, you don't know what I'm going through in my life. I mean, you're saying that God wants me to have faith, but you just don't understand what I'm going through in my life. And, you know, those people, they just had it easy. They didn't really have to have great faith. You know, I mean, it was just easier for them, right? Well, let's face it. If you were asking God how you're going to defeat the first obstacle in the promised land, they cross into the promised land, they camp, the city of Jericho is there, you know this is an obstacle you're going to have to face. God said, I'm going to be with you. And so if we're asking God how to defeat this obstacle, we would be expecting God to give us some great military strategy. I mean, there's got to be some great military strategy that God's going to give us to be able to defeat this city, right? I mean, like, he's going to tell us to take half the army and go this way and attack this side while the other half is going around this way and they're going to come up from behind. Or he's going to tell us to build some type of giant rampart and, you know, while the other half is, you know, over here, then we're going to be able to get to the walls of the city here and we'll be able to breach the walls. And, I mean, we're thinking some type of military. I mean, here's the thing, right? Jericho is one of the strongest cities. I mean, God didn't bring them to the city of Ai, which was much smaller. God brought them to Jericho. This is the first obstacle that they're having to face in the promised land. So we would think that God would give some great military strategy. But I'm not trying to dumb down scripture. I'm not trying to make us feel like we're in Sunday school, but sometimes, again, we'll just read over something without really stopping to think about the faith that they had to have. Again, there's a reason why God says this here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, how did that happen? How does this happen? So Joshua is expecting God to give him some type of military strategy. But what does God say? Well, back in Joshua chapter 6, God says to Joshua, I want you to have the armed men to go in front, And then you're going to have seven priests with ram's horns who are going to blow the trumpets. And then you're going to have the Ark of the Covenant come behind those seven priests. And then you're going to have the rest of the people follow behind. All right. Okay, God, got it. Then what do we do? Well, then God says, you're going to walk around the city and nobody's going to say a word. Okay, God, I got it. Got it. So this is how we get in line. This is the order. And we're going to walk around the city. Nobody's going to say a word. Then what do? Then you're going to go back to camp. No, wait a minute, God, what? We're going to go back to camp? I mean, we haven't done anything. The city is still there. We haven't done anything yet. We're supposed to go back to camp? God says, yes, you're going to go back to camp. We're not going to fight. We're not going to throw spears. We're not going to shoot arrows or anything like that. Nope. Okay, God, then what? Well, then tomorrow you're going to line up just like you did today, the first day. Okay, just like we did today, okay. We got the soldiers, we got the seven priests, we got the ark, and then we've got all the rest of the people behind it. Yep, that's right. Okay, then what? Well, then you're going to march around the city again. March around the city again. Yep, you're going to march around the city again. Okay, all right, we got that. And this is when we fight, right? No, you're going to go back to camp again. Now, come on. We sometimes look at these children's stories, and that's kind of what we think they are, is children's stories. We think these are just kids' stories, right? These are not kids' stories. This is why God says, by faith, they were able to do this. I mean, you have to remember, you're talking about almost 2 million people. You've got 600,000 men that are in the military here. They're lined up, right? And then you've got the seven priests with the ram's horns, and you've got the Ark of the Covenant, and you've got all these people, and they're just going out every day, marching around the city one time and then going back. Yeah, God, that's what you're going to do. But God, I don't understand. Why aren't we fighting and taking the city? So Joshua, then the third day, third time's the charm, right? Third time's the charm. I got you, God. All right. Okay, so the third day, you're going to line up just like the first 2 days. You're going to walk around the city without saying a word, and then you're going to go back to camp. Now, you tell me, and be honest, don't say anything out loud, but just in your heart, right? You tell me, if that's what God told you to do, and you're Joshua, and you're leading this nation of Israel, and this is the battle plan that God's told you, you're going to be like, what? All we're doing is walking around the city and then going back to camp? We get up, we line up, we go around the city, we don't say a word, and we go back to camp. Can you imagine what Joshua must be thinking? I mean, how are we going to defeat this great city? Again, we're not starting with the small one like Ai. We're starting with one of the strongest ones, and we're just walking around it. And then God says, all right, on the fourth day. Yeah, I know. Line up. Walk around the city. Come back to camp. You got it, Joshua. And then on day five and day six, yeah, I think I figured it out, God. Yep. We're going to line up like we've done every other day. We're going to walk around the city, and we're going to come back to camp. Yep, that's right. And then on day seven, you're going to line up, but this time you aren't going to walk around the city just once. Now, if I was Joshua, I'm thinking, all right, here's a change in something. Every other day has been different, so I'm thinking that Joshua probably perked up about this. He's like, here's where the battle comes in, right? Here's where the sword fighting and the spears and the arrows and the catapults and here's where the battle's going to take place. All right, God, go ahead. Tell me what it is. All right, Joshua, you're going to walk around the city seven times today. Right? Seven times, God. Seven times. And we're just going to walk around the city seven times. Nobody's saying a word except for the ram's horns and the priests walking. Yep, nobody's saying a word. Seven times. And then what do? Then I'm going to tell you how to get victory, Joshua. I can picture Joshua. I don't know if he had a pen back then, but he's like, all right, here it is. All right, what do we do next? Shout. I'm sorry, God, could you repeat that? Shout. Yeah, that's what you're going to do, Joshua. God, I'm sorry. We're going to walk around the city seven times, and then after the seventh time, we're just going to shout? Yeah. And what's that going to do, God? Well, the walls are going to fall down. Now, come on, right? I mean, we know the story, but put yourself in Joshua's position here. He is the leader of these people. 2 million people he's going to lead. Can you imagine trying to go to the people and say, okay, here's the battle plan, people. This is what God said to do. We're going to march around one day, once each day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. And then after the seventh time, here's the battle plan. Yell as loud as you can. Now, some of you guys would do a really good job on that. That's the battle plan. That's it. You go back and you read. That's exactly what God says. And again, if you go back, right? If you go back to Joshua chapter 6 here, go back with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. I don't know why I said all those. I thought maybe you might need some help. Right? If you go back to Joshua, this is what he says. And this is what's, again, if you remember what he says here, and this is what's interesting, it does not say, by faith, Joshua did this. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. Well, whose faith is this speaking about? Yeah, we know Joshua's leading. But let's stop and think about this for a second. Whose faith is really being spoken about here in Hebrews chapter 11 in this verse? Is it Joshua's faith? Sure, it's Joshua's faith. But who else's faith? It's the whole nation's faith. Now, I mean, come on. Think about this. Joshua says this is the battle plan. And there's no disagreement? I mean, you don't think that the soldiers are thinking, well, when do we get a piece of the action, right? I mean, we're soldiers, right? There's 600,000 soldiers. And we're not going to pull out a sword. We're not going to throw a spear. We're not going to shoot an arrow. All we're going to do is shout. And that's what he says. This is the faith that it took to lead Israel to do it, to do this. Again, thinking, knowing that everyone's following and watching him. The faith that he had, not only to trust God, but to lead the people to do this. But here's what's really amazing. The faith that it took Israel to follow him in what we would consider an absolutely ridiculous plan. Joshua heard it from God. Joshua was there with the angel of the Lord when the angel of the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. The people didn't hear that. Joshua did. But when Joshua came back and said, hey, this is what God said, and this is the battle plan, and this is what God said, and no doubt Joshua's probably thinking, are they really going to listen to me? Are they really going to trust me? Are they really going to follow me and march around this city every day and then just come back to camp, and the next day get up and march around the city and come back to camp? I mean, are they really going to do this? And yet, the Bible says, by faith, this happened. And on the seventh day, what happens in Joshua chapter 6? Notice in verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straightway before him, and they took the city. This faith that Joshua and these people have is a what we would say it's a conquering faith, right? I mean, it's a faith that is willing to trust God when there is an obstacle and God says, hey, this is something that is absolutely beyond our ability. We have no idea how to defeat this city. God has brought us to the strongest city, not the weakest city, but the strongest city. We have no idea what we're doing, and yet God says, this is what you need to do, and they did it. And when they did it, God says, they got the victory. It happened exactly the way God said. When they shouted, what happened? The walls fell down, just like God said. Now look, I know people have tried to say, well, you know, the marching of the 2 million people around loosened the foundations or whatever. Oh, hogwash. God brought the walls down. That's what he did. He said, I'll fight the battle for you. I mean, it's not, why would we think that parting the Red Sea is a miracle, but God can't bring walls down? If he can part the Red Sea, and if he can bring the plagues, and if he can part the Jordan River, I don't think some walls are going to be a problem for God. Yeah, I know they were big walls. I get that. But it's not a problem for God. So we think, well, it was so much easier for Joshua. Wait a minute, friend. Because when we go through trials and we go through obstacles, we think, man, I just don't know how to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know how I'm going to go forward in this. And then when God tells us what to do, what do? Well, I just don't know if I can trust God. I don't know if I can believe what God said is true. Wait a minute. When has God ever told you something wrong? When has God ever led you away from what is right? He never has. So why would we feel like we can't trust God? Because it's an obstacle that we mentally and we physically, we cannot figure it out. And it's going to require faith to be able to conquer it. And this is what Jericho was. The strongest city. God says, hey, I want to show you that in the Christian life and coming into the promised land, there is no problem too great that I cannot face for you. And no matter what problem you go through, you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Friend, you may be absolutely right. I may not understand what you're going through. And I may not know what Jericho you're facing. But I can tell you this, God does. God knows exactly what Jericho you're facing. And God brought you through the Red Sea. God brought you into salvation. He saved your soul. And he's saying, hey, if you will simply trust me, I can bring those walls down. You say, but it just seems ridiculous. It seems like what God is telling me to do just doesn't make sense. You don't think Joshua probably thought that? You don't think the rest of Israel probably thought that? But yet they were willing to follow and trust God. And it led to them defeating Jericho. But then, if you go back to Hebrews, there's another verse here that is in the same time period here. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. I love this verse, because in this passage, not only does God show the faith of a woman, right? I mean, we've already seen Sarah's faith, but he also shows the faith of Rahab here. But you wouldn't think that faith and harlot go together. But yet, God says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. What happened? Well, again, we know the story. What happens? Joshua comes to the Jordan River before they cross in, before they face Jericho. Joshua sends two spies in. These two spies go in. They come to the city of Jericho, and they meet Rahab. And if you go back to Joshua chapter 2 with me, Joshua chapter 2, There's a remarkable account of what this woman says. In Joshua chapter 2, notice in verse number 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about what this woman is saying. She says, everybody here in the promised land is scared to death because of you. They are scared to death. They are fainting, right? That all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord, notice it wasn't Moses, it wasn't Joshua, it wasn't Israel. Who did it? The Lord. how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sidon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Man, what a testimony. What a testimony that this woman is saying. She's saying, hey, we know your God is above every God. Your God is the God of heaven and the God of earth. Your God is the one that we know he dried up the Red Sea and you guys crossed and you guys are nothing but slaves. And yet you beat these armies before. He said, everybody in here is afraid. Everybody in the land is afraid. Because your God is the God. There is no other God like him. And notice what happens in verse 14. The men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, get up to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward you may go your way. The men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. So you know the story. They come in. She hides them from the enemy there. She says, hey, I know who you are. I believe your God is the true God. And she hides them, and then she lets them out of the city through a window, and she lets them down by a cord, and she said, hey, would you spare my life? Hey, she knows the city is gone. I mean, they haven't even crossed into the promised land yet, and she already knows Jericho's gone. She knows they're coming, and she knows Jericho's gone. But she says, would you spare my life? Would you spare my father, my mother, my family? They said, here's what we'll do. If you will, when we come and attack the city, if you'll get in this house here and you'll tie this scarlet rope in your window, whoever's in the house will be saved. Now, if they're outside, I'm sorry, but whoever's in the house will be saved. That's what happens. You read the account and you find out that when Israel came and they attacked Jericho, that Rahab got her family and brought them into the house, and she tied. In fact, I really love this, right? She didn't wait very long. You notice? Watch this. Verse number 21, and she said, according unto thy word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She's like, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting till you come back. I'm doing it now. There's that scarlet rope hanging in the wood. It's there now. I'm not waiting till you come back. As soon as they were gone, she left it there. She's like, I'm leaving this here. And God says, by faith, right? By faith, this is what happened with Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Now, here's what's interesting. Anyone in that city could have been saved if they would have believed. Anyone. The only problem is they didn't believe. But Rahab did. This person that we would think would be probably one of the worst people in the city, she said, no, I believe. I believe what God says is true. Hey, the mayor of Jericho, I don't know if they had a mayor, but if the mayor, they had a mayor, he could have been saved if he would have believed. And everybody else could have been saved, but none of them were because they didn't believe. By the way, do you understand? They knew the same thing about God that Rahab did. They knew the same thing. They heard the same stories. They chose not to believe. Rahab said, there's no God like yours. He is the God of heaven and earth. And Rahab chose to believe, and she chose to believe and put that scarlet line there. Here's the thing that's really interesting. What does the faith of Joshua, who defeated Jericho, and the faith of Rahab have in common? What does the faith of Joshua defeating Jericho and the faith of Rahab have in common? You want to tell me? What do they have in common? Okay, same God. Yeah, that's true. But what does their faith have in common? They followed instructions. Both followed instructions. God said, Joshua, you're going to march around one time, and then you're going to go back to camp. Joshua said, all right, that's what we're going to do. On the seventh day, Joshua, you're going to march around seven times, and then you're going to shout. Joshua said, all right, that's what we're going to do. Joshua followed God's instructions. What did Rahab do? The spy said, hey, you get your family in here, you stay in this room when we attack, you tie this scarlet thread here, and whoever's in here and that scarlet thread's here, you're going to be saved. What did she do? She followed their instructions. Can I tell you, sometimes we make conquering our obstacles and our enemies more difficult than what they need to be. Can I tell you how, if you really want victory over obstacles and temptations, can I tell you the secret? Follow God's instructions. Follow God's instructions. The reason why many times we do not ever get victory over our obstacles and temptations and difficult things in our life is because we're not listening to God. We're listening to everybody else but God. We're listening to what this person said and what grandma said and what mom says and what dad says and what our friend says, and they're telling us all this when God says, hey, if you'll just listen to me, I'll tell you exactly how to get victory over it. Yeah, but you know, that's just an old book and I just don't know if I can trust God. I just don't know if I can believe God. Then don't get victory. But Joshua believed God. No matter how ludicrous the plan seemed, Joshua said, this is what God said, and I'm going to do it. Here's Rahab. She said, tie a scarlet thread in the window? How's that going to save me? How's a scarlet cord in the window? How is that going to save me? But she did it. She obeyed. She followed their instructions. And because of her faith, she was not killed. Because of her faith, she believed when others did not. Because of Joshua's faith, because of the people's faith, they believed what God said, and they watched those walls just fall down. They didn't pull out a sword. They didn't throw a spear. They didn't shoot an arrow. They didn't build anything. They just walked around, did what God said, yelled, and fell down. You see, we think, it was just easy for them. I don't think it was so easy for them. But here's what they did. They believed God. And they followed his instructions. And when we go through life and when there are obstacles, and there will be obstacles, whether you are just recently saved or whether you've been saved for a long time, there are going to be obstacles. Look, Jericho wasn't the first obstacle they faced. They're going to go to Jericho, then they're going to go to Ai, and then they're going to go all over the promised land. There's all kinds of obstacles and enemies that they're going to face. And here's what you're going to find. Every time they followed God's instructions, they won. Every time. It's when they chose not to follow God's instructions and to do it on their own, guess what you find? They were defeated. He says, their faith, and this is what he says, by faith, not by anything they did, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Can I encourage you tonight? Look, no matter what obstacle you're facing, whatever you will face, if we will simply go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do in this? And follow his instructions. Can I tell you something? You can get victory. You see, their faith was a conquering faith. The walls of Jericho fell down, and everybody in it died except Rahab and those that were in her house because she followed the instructions. I tell you something, a lot of times we don't like to follow God's instructions because we think we've got it figured out better than God. I've got 600,000 men here. Surely we can take this city. God says, no, you don't need 600,000 men. All you need to do is follow instructions. Just walk around the city Do exactly as I say, and I'll make the walls come down. Are we willing to have that type of faith, to trust God when it might seem like, God, I just don't understand this. And I don't understand how it's going to work out. I know what you're saying. I know what you're telling me to do, but I don't get it. Look, friend, you don't have to get it. You don't have to get it. Just follow his instructions. Just be obedient to what he says. Trust him. Believe him. And you can conquer Jericho. Believe him. You can have that same faith that Rahab had. When everybody else perished, she didn't, because she simply followed what God said. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us to realize this faith that they had. Lord, it was not easy. I cannot imagine the ridicule that Joshua and the children of Israel had as they were walking around that city. The ridicule from the people inside Jericho, laughing at them and mocking them. No doubt, maybe even some doubting in their mind, saying, God, is this really what you want us to do? Is this really going to work, walking around the city, just walking around? Is it really going to work? But yet they trusted you. They believed you. And you brought the walls down. No doubt Rahab thinking, just by tying a string here and getting my family in my house, is this really going to work? Are we really going to be saved? Yet she believed you and trusted. And they had victory. They were able to overcome and conquer. Lord, I don't know what obstacle, what difficulty, what trial anyone is facing here tonight. Lord, there might be some that are. And they're wondering what to do. God, I pray you'd help them tonight to learn just simply to follow you, to follow your instructions, to be obedient what you tell them to do, not to listen to what anybody else says, but simply to listen to you and have that conquering faith. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about tonight, just remain seated. But tonight, as the piano begins to play, maybe there's something that God is speaking to your heart about tonight. Maybe there's some obstacle, some difficulty, some trial that you're facing, and you think, man, this Jericho is too big. It's too great. I don't know how I'm going to get victory over it. What do I do? Friend, can I encourage you tonight? Just follow God's instructions. Just follow what God says.